According to environmentaldefense.ca, Line 9 is an aging oil pipeline owned by Enbridge that runs through some of the most densely populated parts of Canada. This 38-year-old pipeline now carries conventional oil across Ontario and Quebec. Enbridge wants to use the line to ship heavy crude, which includes ultra-heavy tar sands oil. The pipeline was not built for this purpose. Enbridge's application to reverse Line 9 and change what goes through Line 9 is part of a larger plan to export tar sands oil east through Canada and the US. Enbridge's Line 9 proposal carries many risks, but few rewards for communities along the pipeline's route. The proposal puts the drinking water of millions at risk of oil spill. How does it have consequences on the environment?
Our streams and our ponds in Amjanong are extremely toxic right now. There are actually signs saying to don't touch the water, don't go near the water, leave it alone because it's toxic. There had been mercury found in our waters, and since we live so close to these facilities, they spill and contaminate what water we have on the reserve. And this also goes for the soil and air.
There's like a number of consequences that Line 9 will have if it's not stopped. One of the most important things I think people need to remember is that Line 9 itself passes through every single tributary that flows into Lake Ontario, as well as runs along the north shore of the St. Lawrence River. So wherever a spill occurs, it will directly impact the Great Lakes or the St. Lawrence River or both, you know, because anything that happens to the St. Lawrence River will ultimately impact the Great Lakes watershed. So, I mean, basically for me, I feel a lot of concern because we might as well say goodbye to Lake Ontario. You know, this is like, and there is no diluted bitumen pipeline that runs through a population of 9 million people. So that's really important to consider, you know, because there has not been in the history of the tar sands a pipeline that's run dilbit through such a high concentration of people, as well as, like, directly in the city of Toronto, the pipeline goes right beside the TTC, like, their Toronto Transit Commission, their subway system. So, like, not only from, like, water contamination and the impacts of spills on municipalities, not to mention, like, the fact that there's 18 First Nations communities who are directly passed by the line, but also, bitumen itself is a corrosive solid, and it has very carcinogenic solvents in order to make the bitumen viscous smooth enough to actually pass it through the pipeline. And so when there is a spill, when that occurs, not only will you have the water contamination and ground contamination from the bitumen flowing down, but you'll also have an air contamination from the solvents dissolving off. In the Kalamazoo spill in 2010, that was something that was constantly noticed by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, which is their federal regulatory body, like the Canadian Nuclear, the National Energy Board, and they talk like over and over again about the smell when there was a bitumen spill, and unfortunately, because bitumen is a solid, once it hits those water areas, those bodies of water, whether they be lakes, streams, rivers. Because it's a solid, it's actually going to sink to the bottom, you know, so it's going to be a long-term contaminator, and it has, like, very, very serious implications for the drinking water of 9 million people, you know. So ultimately, Line 9 is about expanding the tar sands. So Line 9 can't be looked at as this isolated project, because it's part of a broader system of expanding the Athabasca tar sands, which is about continuing the slow industrial genocide of the Chippewa and people, of the indigenous folks there, as well as, like, all of our nations across who are impacted by, as we've been calling, this black snake. And so it's really important to realize that this isn't just an isolated battle, that this has absolutely everything to do with tar sands expansion and with the impacts of colonial capitalism and land theft on our nation.
According to you, why are the communities not being heard by the National Energy Board?
the National Energy Board approved Line 9 without listening to the public. They let some people intervene at the hearings, but it was basically an illusion of participation based on the fact that the City of Toronto brought concerns forward, and so many people brought concerns forward, and they didn't listen to anyone. They didn't even give any recommendations that were valid for Enbridge to continue. And it was basically silencing to the public. It was like an illusion of participation for anyone who actually went to the hearings. And I was there personally, and we ended up shutting down the hearings on the second last day through protesting. They ran out because they were afraid of a round dance, and it was pretty epic.
Because the National Energy Board is basically this, it's a rubber stamping process. They had no interest of ever disapproving the pipeline. First of all, no traditional Indigenous governance had been consulted. And for those of us, like, I'm Haudenosaunee, and we still have our traditional governance. And within a Haudenosaunee context, that's our true governance system. And, like, they have not been consulted. And even band councils who have participated in this process, they said, five band councils have participated. And every single one of them said that they haven't been consulted according to their terms, and they do not want this project to go through, as well as, like, a number of other, like, municipalities, as well as, like, various groups and individuals, you know, came out, like, in, like, citizens all across, you know, Ontario and Quebec came out and saying absolutely no to this project. But the reason it's being approved is because it's a system of impunity, you know. It's a colonial system that is looking to further its own interests directly. So it's not about meaningful consultation. If it was about meaningful consultation, that pipeline would not even be in the ground. It violates a number of treaties, like from the Haldimand Proclamation to the Simcoe Deed in Tyendinaga, you know, all the way to just like the Royal Proclamation itself. There's like a number of ways in which that pipeline is already in violation of a number of treaties, including the Canadian Constitution, because in the Canadian Constitution, Section 35, that it's outlined that there needs to be due consultation with First Nations in matters which affect us most directly, and that has just not been the case. That has not been the case over and over again, and it's been recorded as that. There's been documentation that there has been no consultation. And so the pipeline was approved because places like Suncor, which is actually right in the east end of the Montreal Island, which is where the tar sands are going to be refined from Line 9, is going to be right at the Suncor refinery. But folks like Suncor and Enbridge and TransCanada, they have a vested interest, obviously, in these projects going ahead. And just to show you the level of impunity, before the National Energy Board even approved the pipeline project, they were doing construction in preparation for the reversal. So they were already reversing the pipeline before they even had, you know, that rubber stamping. And it just goes to show that the process itself is ludicrous, that these sort of legal and administrative avenues do not stop pipeline projects. And they will not affect the outcome. The only thing that we can do that will meaningfully impact this kind of thing is honestly hardcore direct action and taking strategic action against like infrastructural projects. And I think what needs to happen honestly is like long-term occupations of pumping stations. People need to find ways to shut down the valves of the pipeline. People have to find ways to there are a number of ways to, like, from the Enbridge headquarters to the Suncor refinery, there are a number of sites to interject at, you know. But I think ultimately what needs to happen is we need to keep the eye directly also at the tar sands. Like, people need to know where the construction is happening. They do things like that you would call integrity digs, where they dig up the pipeline to see how paper thin it is and when it's going to crack open. You know, there's a lot of technical information that's provided by the National Energy Board, and there's a lot of information online for people to be able to take. Like this is basically advocating for something illegal, but sabotage is very important. being able to cause them economic damage is one of the strongest tools that we have. But understanding that Line 9 is part of a larger project, which is the tar sands, and how do we stop it at the source, needs to be the bigger question.
Fracking is an issue in my territory because it affects us because it destroys the water. And water is the foundation of who we are as a people. Without water, we're unable to be who we are. We're unable to practice our ceremonies. We're unable to fulfill our obligations as Innu people.
It affected us in various different ways, varying from social economic impacts to environmental impacts and ultimately death.
The destruction, the natural destruction, it all has a consequence and it impacts the people of the community. It removes people from their natural cycles of what they should be doing with the land and how they should be treating the land, how they have to live with the land.
When our land is destroyed, it's definitely a kind of genocide. And they know that, you know. That's why they want to destroy us, because we have that connection. But, you know, there's too many strong people, and, like, you know, people are awakening now, and they're seeing that, and so they're just trying to destroy it faster and faster.
You just heard some experts from a video produced by members of Reclaim Turtle Island. The voices you heard were those from Susan Petals from the Mi'kmaq Nation, Lionel Lepine, a member of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation, Clifton Nicholas from the Canyon Kehaka Nation, and Daniel Boisneau from the Anishinaabekwe Kitigaunsebe Territory. You're from Rising Tide Toronto, right?
Yes.
Okay. Could you talk about the Pledge of Resistance? What are you calling out for?
We are going to plan civil disobedience through the means of direct action. We released the Pledge of Resistance so that we may contact people via email, like people who've taken the pledge, to notify them that we have something planned, and whether or not they choose to come out is their decision. In the past, we've helped organize rallies and done extensive outreach. A lockdown previously took place where we took over the construction site and shut down the pipeline construction for 12 hours. So basically, we're going to notify the media and the public of future actions, and we have released the Pledge of Resistance because the NEB gave us no voice, and it's a call, like, it's basically asking for civil disobedience when we worked so hard to tell them our concerns and they just didn't listen to us.
We are Wet'suwet'en people, and the territories that they're talking about belong to our people. They don't belong to a tribal council, they don't belong to bands, they don't belong to industry, and they certainly don't belong to government. If anybody wants to try and force a pipeline through our territories, they're going to meet resistance. And if they want to put contractors out here, they're going to be putting contractors in harm's way, because we are going to protect our lands.
It's important to stop these pipelines because they're going to destroy and deplete everything that we are. It's eco-genocide. It's, you know, it's destroying us through destroying everything that we have.
I think that the nation-nation relationship, when it's decolonized, then that's when we're really gonna see an uprising. That's when we're really gonna be bound together by things other than physical. You know, when we have that spiritual connection with each other, like, that's some really strong shit.
What needs to happen is direct action. I think people need to physically get out there and show their support for the earth and not the tar sands destruction or the pipelines destruction or the government.
We tried protesting, you know, we tried, you know, marching around, dancing around malls here and there. You know, we tried court, we tried, you know, legal ways, you know. Strong, hardcore direct action is the only way to stop these guys.
We're resisting colonialism. We're trying to bring back who we are as Indigenous people, and it's important to assert your rights, and it's important to assert your inherent authority and assert your title over the land, because non-assertion equals extinguishment. And if we do not assert who we are as a people, then we are exterminating who we are.
We are caretakers. We are warriors. We are people of the earth. Stop the pipelines. Shut down the tar sands.
Thanks to Amanda Lickers, Shirley Seravolo, and Vanessa Gray for their contribution to this report. You can find the Reclaim Turtle Island video on YouTube. The title of the video is Indigenous Resistance to Tar Sands Pipelines. For more information, you can visit reclaimturtleisland.com. You can also find Rising Tide Toronto and Amiji Wang and Sani Against Pipelines on Facebook. This is Emily Philipson for CKUT's News Collective.